MERS. Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Giada. Today we're going to expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes. And we have a very rich and fertile field to plow in that regard. Instead of merely presenting the news as it was presented earlier by SRN on the Genesis Communication Network, I'm going to explain why these things are happening and what it means to you and to those you love. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms so that we find a way of hope, a light of hope, out of all of these human conditions. We're going to turn to His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and we're going to embrace His covenant. If you are rational, I promise you, this will be the best part of today's program. Our number, should you want to engage in this discussion, if you want to question, criticize, or affirm anything I have to say, you're welcome to call 877-300-7645. A special word encouragement to all those who are listening this morning, because we're going to cover the story that you just heard on the news, the lead story in the news, the American ambassador to Libya was murdered by Muslims. I would strongly encourage you to open your browsers if you are listening online, and if not, to jot down this website, prophetofdoom.net. P-R-O-P-H of doom.net. That is a 1,000-page book that is the most comprehensive, the best documented, the most chronological and contextual presentation of the five earliest Islamic sources ever written. The evidence for what I'm going to present to you this morning comes from that research. This is the story. I'm going to report it as it was first presented by the BBC. I'm then going to turn to an article that I found in Reuters and then return to the BBC report. An obscure film mocking Muslim prophet sparks anti-U.S. protests in Egypt and Libya is the headline. Now, here are some insights to this. We're talking about an extraordinarily obscure film. This is not a film produced by Hollywood. This is not a film that was produced by any major U.S. corporation. The United States has diddly squat to do with this film. Attacking the United States for this film is stupid, but Muslims are stupid. It is a consequence of their religion. If you'd like to challenge me on that statement, feel free to do so. This mocking the Muslim, it doesn't say mocking a Muslim prophet, it doesn't even say mocking the Muslim prophet, but this is two things you should know. Muhammad was not a prophet. To be a prophet, you have to issue a prophetic statement predicting the future, and it has to be right. Muhammad made several prophetic statements in his Quran and Hadith. Not one has come true. If you can't get a single prophecy right, you can't call yourself a prophet. And according to God, whose name is Yahweh, unless you get 100% of your prophecies right, then you do not speak for Him. And the people should associate your testimony with that which deceives and is deadly. And so from God's perspective, Yahweh's perspective, since Muhammad got his prophecies wrong, the Torah teaches us that we should disassociate with him, and we should associate everything that Muhammad says with that which is deadly and damning. Now, turning to the word mocking, how do you mock someone whose life was comprised of, by his own acknowledgement, lying, pedophilia, rape, incest, kidnap, ransom, thievery, the slave trade, mass murder, and terrorism. That is a summation of Muhammad's life. That is what we know about him from the earliest Islamic sources. How do you mock someone who is a pedophile, who is a rapist, who is a kidnapper, who is a mass murderer? That is what he said of himself. That is what he did. That is the essence of his life. The next point that I wish to make is, this headline reads, obscure film mocking Muslim prophet. That presupposes there might be more than one. But there is only one. Now, yes, the Quran says that their Esau, which is Arabic for Esau, the one person that God calls out by name that says he hates, which Muslims have corrupted to Jesus, which is a fictitious name that was created in the 17th century, was a Muslim prophet, and yet everything he said and did was in full compliance with the Torah, which is the antithesis of the Quran. Muhammad calls Daud, who doesn't even know his name, we corrupt his name to David, a Muslim prophet. He claims that Moses was a Muslim prophet. He even says that Adam and Abraham were Muslim prophets, and yet 100% of what we know about these men is that they knew Yahweh, and that they were the antithesis. What they did and what they said was the antithesis of Islam, and that Islam did not come to exist until Muhammad plagiarized and bastardized Arab pagan traditions and blended them with the Jewish Talmud. And that was done in the 7th century. So there is only one, and he's not a prophet. And you can't mock a man who is as despicable as he was. And there was no association with this film and America. Now, that's just the headline. Let's move on. This is from the BBC. Angered by reports in the Egyptian media that members of the Coptic Christian diaspora in Washington had produced a crude film mocking the Muslim prophet, protesters climbed the walls of the U.S. Embassy in Cairo, acting like baboons, I added that, on Tuesday, and tore down the American flag, burning it. Later, a Libyan security official told Reuters that armed militiamen had attacked the United States consulate in Benghazi, killing a staff member. Anger, rage, is the essence of Islam. Now, anger, rage, we talked about yesterday. I told you that if you are not angered by what happened on 9/11 and do not hold Islam accountable, then you have no capacity to love. That if you are not willing to protect your family, your children, from the wrath of Islam, then you are not loving them. That those who love are angered by those who threaten those they love. Now that's a moral imperative. In Islam, there is no love. There is only anger. There is only rage. You see, for love to exist, a choice must exist. Free will must exist. Love cannot be compelled. The Quran, Islam, is all about being compelled. Islam means submission. Submission is the antithesis of free will. In Islam, there is no love. Even in Islam, the reward in paradise is not love, the conquest of virgins. In Islam, there is no love. There is only rage. Because that is Allah's nature, and Allah was modeled after Satan. And so, with Islam because Muslims intuitively know that their prophet was inferior in every possible way. They know he was a pedophile. They know he was engaged in incest. The Quran says so. They know he was a rapist. The Quran says so. They know he was a terrorist. The Quran says so. They know he was a kidnapper. They know he was a mass murderer. The Quran says so. They know that he didn't get a single prediction right. They know it. They know that their man does not measure up. And so they are extraordinarily thin-skinned and easily angered to rage. That's why Islam is incompatible with civil society. So angered by reports in the Egyptian media. Now look at the Egyptian media. It was secular. When Mubarak was in charge of that country, it was secular. It's no longer secular because the Muslim Brotherhood is in charge of that country. This is a consequence of democracy. Democracy is not good, it is bad. Democracy in Egypt brought the Muslim Brotherhood a purely fundamentalist religious power into authority, and now they are in charge of the media. And so, what did they do? And why did they do it? They deceived to enrage. You see, Egypt is bankrupt now. It was barely functional before, but now with the Muslim Brotherhood and Islam's full influence in Egypt, it is decaying. It is crumbling. It is economically bankrupt. In fact, its only salvation right now is the United States and us giving them money, loaning them money, which would be a tragic mistake. And now because Egypt is crumbling, the only thing that despots do when their society is crumbling because of their own malfeasance is they always blame a boogeyman. Your problems are out there. Never mind the fact that the United States is your benefactor. Never mind the fact that the United States is providing you with your weapons and providing you with loans and is supporting you. Forget about that. They're the boogeyman. Your problems are not because of Islam, not because of us. It's because of them. They do the same thing with the Jews. It's just like Adolf Hitler did with Germans. And because most people are ignorant, particularly religious people, and they are irrational, they buy it. Well, we're only one sentence into our report on what happened in Libya and Cairo, and we will continue after the break. Good morning, if we can call it that. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. I am not being facetious when I say, if we can call it that, what happened yesterday in Libya and in Cairo was despicable. And it follows a despicable show by Americans in the remembrance of 9/11, where not one American had the courage to say, to honor those who died, we should hold Islam accountable. Not one person. Not one person. That was despicable enough. 3,000 innocent people, many with young children, many who were young themselves, were murdered on 9/11 by Islam, by the religion of Islam, not a corruption of the religion, by Islam. And no one in America is willing to hold Islam accountable for their murders. You know, that would be like, let me just make this a bit personal for you. You raise a little girl, she's about 10 years old, and a guy comes and kills her. But because no one sees the act, even though he told you who he was, even though he is shouting and there's an audio report that Allahu Akbar, Allah is most great, and that he has purposefully killed your daughter in the name of Islam, in the name of Allah. And even though he leaves a taped confession, each of the 19 back in their homeland, quoting passages from the Quran as to why they thought it was appropriate to kill your daughter savagely, You can't find a single court to prosecute them. Because the Constitution says they have the freedom to practice their religion. Now, if you can live with that and not be angry, if you can live with that and let your daughter have died and not hold the murderers accountable, then your morality is different than mine. Let's return to this first statement. Angered by reports in the Egyptian media, which is essential to understand, the Egyptian media purposefully deceived people to enrage them because of the desperate conditions that now exist in Egypt for the express purpose of creating a boogeyman out there that is responsible for their plight. Even though the United States is the principal benefactor of Egypt, the Egyptian media, now controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood, presented it as the foe that was responsible for the horrible conditions that now exist in that country. It's then spoke that members of the Coptic Christian diaspora. Why were the Coptic Christians forced to leave Egypt? Why were they exiled from Egypt? You see, Christianity, the Coptic Church, was the dominant population, the dominant religion, the dominant ethnic group even in Egypt. And they had been for better part of 600 years, maybe 700 years, before Muslim savages, based upon the teachings of Muhammad and his new religion, Islam, became barbarians and raced across the world, both east and west. And when they came to Egypt, they savaged the place and told the Copt Christians who were living there, "You have three choices. You can convert to Islam, surrender to Islam. You can continue to be a Christian, but if you are, understand we're going to tax you to the point that you will have no money. We'll confiscate your property. And you will have absolutely no rights. You will be treated as an animal, as a pig in our society, or we will kill you. Those are your choices." And the population that was 100% Copt is now 10% and declining. And the Muslims have treated the Christians in Egypt so horribly that there is a diaspora of Coptic Christians around the world, many of whom live in America. You know, the Muslims complain bitterly that the Jews have created a diaspora of Muslims, so-called Palestinians, and that they have the right to return, and that's absolute bull. The Muslims who left Israel when Egypt was granted a tiny sliver of land in the Middle East following the Holocaust, which was orchestrated, by the way, by the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, they left because they were told to leave by the Arab League, because the Arab League wanted their militaries to wipe Israel off the map, and they wanted a clear killing field. That was not the case with the Copts in Egypt. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll return to this story after the break. It is a horrible story, but hopefully something good can come out of this. This program is called Shattering Myths. We are now shattering an extraordinarily important myth. The myth is only important in that it is deadly, it is violent, it is corrosive. This myth is amongst the most dangerous cancers in the world. It is the myth that is Islam, and it is the tolerance of it that is killing us and killing them. You see, the reality is that the greatest beneficiary, the most benefit that comes from us being willing to tell you the truth about Islam, those who benefit the most are Muslims. It kills them first. Not only does it corrupt their soul, not only does it twist their thinking, not only does it turn their moral compass upside down, not only does it render them absolutely incapable of reason, which is a tragedy, because there really is a God. He really does want us to know Him. And He has made a wonderful offer to us, none of which they can process until we first help rid them of this horrible disease that is Islam. The most compassionate thing, the most courageous thing, the wisest thing we can do is to help them rid themselves of this horrible religion and this repulsive wannabe prophet. But more than that, should you not be compelled, not be interested in trying to help those who are so disgusting in their behavior? And I can understand that. It's hard for me. Then I would ask you to join me in exposing and condemning this religion for the sake of your children, for the sake of your family, for the sake of those you love. Do it for them. Because if you don't do it, and America continues to mutter along as well as the rest of the world in ignorance of Islam, tolerating Islam, then millions, even billions of people are going to die. That's the consequence. You're going to lose everything you hold dear unless you're willing to engage with me, to learn the truth, and to wield words and reason against this beast. Join me. The next sentence in this article reads, later, a Libyan security official told Reuters that armed militiamen had attacked the United States consulate in Benghazi, killing a staff member. What was more than that? They weren't militiamen. Militiamen implies the idea that they were somehow part of a government militia. No. They were a terrorist organization. An Islamic terrorist organization. They were the very fundamentalist Muslims that were responsible in that country, Libya, of perpetrating the very revolution that the United States sponsored. We created the environment in Libya that led to the murder of our ambassador and four other Americans killed there today. We are responsible. We, because of senators like McCain and presidents like Obama, bombed the secular government of Libya, and we armed and equipped the Mujahideen, the jihadists, the very terrorists we were fighting in Afghanistan and in Iraq, the very men who themselves had come back now to fight a new jihad, this one in Libya. We armed and equipped them, and Libya is now theirs. The very weapons that were being deployed were American. They might have been filtered through the Sudan. They might have been filtered through Bahrain or Qatar. But we empowered the result that exists in Libya, where that secular country, as bad as it was under Gaddafi, is in far worse shape now that it is under the control of fundamentalist Muslims. And as a result, our ambassador and four other Americans were murdered last night by Islam. This now from Reuters, and then we'll return to the BBC article. The U.S. ambassador to Libya is among four Americans they have killed. I'm going to use the more correct term. Murdered. In an attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, President Barack Obama has confirmed. He is responsible for their deaths, ladies and gentlemen. And if you voted for him, you are too. Unidentified armed men stormed the grounds overnight amid uproar among Muslims over a U.S.-produced film to insult the Prophet Muhammad. U.S.-produced film! What is Reuters? Are the journalists from Reuters as stupid as these Muslims who murdered our ambassador? It's not a U.S.-produced film. If you want something that's U.S.-produced, go to the post office. If you want something that's U.S.-produced, go on an aircraft carrier. This is not a U.S.-produced film. Good grief. Get your facts right. And how do you insult a man who was a rapist, who was a pedophile, who was a mass murderer, who was a terrorist? How do you insult such a person? What kind of an insult could there possibly be to the most repulsive man who ever lived? And I remind you, he was not a prophet. He didn't get a single prediction right. Let's not give him the distinction of prophet. They shot at buildings. They threw handmade bombs into the compound. It has not been confirmed how the ambassador, J. Christopher Stevens, and others died. It has not been confirmed how the ambassador died. However, the protesters against the film not only attacked the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi, Libya, but also in Cairo on Tuesday night. In Kabul, the Afghan government gave orders for the video sharing website YouTube to be closed to the public until the offending film was removed. Orders. You can't tell the truth. I've not seen this film, but I have seen many that exposed Muhammad for the rotten piece of rubbish that he was. Listen, I have a really antagonistic stripe towards pedophiles. I think it's the single worst crime you can commit. And according to the Islamic scriptures, Muhammad was a pedophile. I have a thing against rapists. I think rapists are scum. And Muhammad raped 3 women, according to the earliest Islamic sources. I have a thing against kidnapping. I have a thing against enslaving young children. And Muhammad enslaved thousands of them. I have a thing against lying, particularly in the name of God, and that is what Muhammad is best known for. What this film, you can rest assured, conveys is the truth about Muhammad, something that Muslims will not tolerate. If anyone speaks the truth about Muhammad, about Islam, about that repulsive book, the Quran, the dumbest book ever written in an Islamic country, or anywhere in the world, they get a death sentence put on them. I've had 1,000 of them. And so the response in Kabul, Afghanistan, was to silence the voice of truth. In a statement, President Obama condemned the outrageous attack on the facility in Benghazi, although he did not accept responsibility. He is responsible. He made the decision to deploy U.S. weaponry night after night on behalf of the very people that murdered these American citizens, these American diplomats. He is responsible. In eastern Libya, which is a rebel stronghold during the uprising against Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. Yeah, the very Mujahideen that ultimately, through force of arms, in a civil war, captured that country, taking it over on behalf of fundamentalist Muslims, were headquartered in Benghazi. He said Chris was a courageous and exemplary representative of the United States. Thank you, Barack Obama. Reports say a militia known as, why don't we call them what they are, jihadists. They have a religious term for fighting in Allah's cause. It's called jihad. You know, there's not many religions that have terms that are the most holy, most sanctified in their religion for killing, for fighting with full weaponry and arms. But Islam does. It's called jihad. And those who engage in jihad in Islam are mujahideen, a religious term for these murderers. Why don't we use their own term? We call the blitzkriegers blitzkrieg. We call the kamikazes kamikazes. Why don't we call the Muslims by the term they apply to themselves, their religious term, jihadists and mujahideen? Well, this group was the named Ansar al-Sharia. Ansar al-Sharia. Now, this journalist from Reuters doesn't have a clue what that means. Doesn't have a clue how that defines this group. Who are the Ansar? The Ansar, you see, when Muhammad fled from Mecca to Yathrib, today's Medina, in shame, following his wild ass ride where he imagined that he flew on a winged ass from Mecca to Jerusalem and then went into the temple, which, by the way, was non-existent at that time, to meet with all of the Torah's bigwigs, and then took his winged ass through hell on the way to heaven. And then I issued the satanic verses where he said that all of Allah's messengers speak on behalf of Satan. Well, when he was laughed out of Mecca in shame and was on his way to Yathrib, and he met with 12 goons from Yathrib, where they pledged to wage war against all humankind on behalf of Muhammad. What happened is that at that point there were about 20 scallywags that had embraced Muhammad in Mecca that traveled up to Yathrib, today's Medina, with him. And they were the empowered, they were the elite of the new Muslim religion. And the Ansar, the helper, were the stepchildren. They were the tools to be wielded at those who didn't surrender. We'll return to Ansar al-Sharia after the break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Hello. Welcome back to the final moments of the news segment of Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. The name that of the Mujahideen, of the jihadist that murdered the U.S. ambassador and four other Americans last night, tells us exactly who they are. They were the Ansar al-Sharia. Ansar is the friends of Sharia. Friends, though, is really a misleading term. When Muhammad, as I was saying before the break, fled Mecca in shame following the satanic verses in his wild ass ride to Jerusalem to see the non-existent temple, he was reliant on the Arabs in Yathrib, who were outnumbered about 2-1 by the Jews in Yathrib, to become fighters for his cause. Because he only had about 20 or so ragtag Meccans that were going to accompany him, along with his little pedophile sex toy, Aisha. And so they were simply beguiled. They were used. They were toyed with. In fact, when you read the hadith, the infighting between the Meccans, who had a higher status even though they had done nothing worthwhile in their lives, and the Ansar, who were doing all the work happened to be kidnapping, thievery, mass murder, terrorism, they were always second-class citizens. But they were called the Ansar nonetheless, the Ansar, the friends of what is al-Sharia. Sharia is Islamic law. The friends of Islamic law. Now, what is Islamic law? We hear the term law and we think, oh, that's a good thing. Civilizations have good laws. Well, Sharia is based entirely on the words and deeds of Muhammad. And since Muhammad is barely mentioned in the Quran and the words and deeds of Muhammad scarcely populate the Quran, although the entire Quran is really the words and deeds of Muhammad because Allah is Muhammad's alter ego. But to base anything on the words and deeds of Muhammad, it has to be based on the hadith. The hadith is the lone source of Islamic information on Muhammad. When you read the hadith collections, the four of them that were compiled within 200 years of Muhammad's life and death, they are the Sirah by Ishaq, the Tariq by Tabari, and Muslims and Bukhari's collection of topically arranged hadith, oral reports from Muhammad and his companions. When you read them, what you find is that Muhammad was a terrorist, he was a pedophile, he was a rapist, he was a kidnapper, he was incestuous, he was a womanizer, he was a mass murderer, he was a ruthless terrorist, and he was an avowed liar. Sharia law is based on his life. Can you imagine a legal plan, a set of laws based upon the life of such a repulsive man? And yet, those jihadists who murdered the Americans operate proudly, arrogantly, under the name Friends of Sharia. Well, they were involved in the attack with the group. It says that they're not sure they're quite ready to accept the claim. Reports suggested that Ambassador Stevens and his staff went to the consulate in an attempt to evacuate the site after it was attacked. If he did so, that is tremendous courage. For a person to go back into the line of fire in a community that is enraged by Islam to protect others in the compound was courageous. I admire him for that. They were reportedly trying to leave the consulate building for a safer location when the gunman launched an intense attack, apparently forcing back security guards. Imagine that. This is a religious group using a name that comes directly out of the Quran and Hadith, conducting business according to the Quran and Hadith, following the orders of the example of their prophet, and they were about the business of killing, murdering. The American ambassador and three staff members were killed, murdered, when the gunman fired rockets in their direction. Those rockets, of course, were American. We either supplied them to the Sudan or to Qatar or to Bahrain, and they were given to these jihadists. They were our weapons. Same thing's going to happen in Syria when American weapons, which are being funneled now to the Sunni opposition, the Mujahideen, the jihadists, are used against Americans. Same thing's going to happen. It's inevitable. A second U.S. man that was killed in the attack is Sean Smith, the father of two, who was employed as an information officer, and now his children are orphaned. I'm sorry. But we caused this to happen. Our president and our Congress enabled these murderers, and we are accountable. We'll return to this story on the News Hour on our program tomorrow. I hope you will listen then. After the break, we'll turn to Yah.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie Guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy.